John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, and John chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. And we're not going to be putting these particular scriptures up today. We will in a few moments some others. But I want to speak to you today on a subject of divine connection. Divine connection. And as you're turning there, I will tell you that God wants you to have a divine connection with Him. He wants to connect with you. There needs to be connectivity between you and God. Individually. I believe that God wants to connect with His church again in America in a connectivity that would make a difference in this nation. I believe that with all my heart. And I want to share with you today three distinct points that the Holy Spirit put into my heart to share with you about how we connect, how to connect, and how to stay connected with God. I mean, I can give you a classic scripture right now, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. Very classic and very pertinent and very powerful scripture. But I really want you to hear the words of Jesus here, if you will, read along with me. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was." I want to just say right there, Jesus is stating that He did exactly what God the Father, His Father, told Him to do. No matter how tough it was, no matter how impossible it was to humanity, He completed it. In His prayer there, in His opening verses of John 17, He is saying in such a way, in such a direct way, "I want to have our relationship back the way it was before this all began. I want that relationship again. I've done my obedience. I've securely conquered the task. And all I want out of it right now is that our relationship would be as it used to be." John 17 and 20 and 24. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one with Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me, and I have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You gave Me, may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me, For you loved me before the foundations of the world. We could discuss today the matter of being one for hours upon hours, debating what Jesus meant in his prayer. And this has been in great discussion for years, when he prayed it, where he prayed it, the time that he prayed it, and what did he really mean by everything that he said. His prayer is so strong, and what it meant and how the Father heard it is something that we could discuss. We could compare different religions and their doctrines and their dogmas as how it relates to this ultimate prayer that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, prayed to his Father. We could go through all sorts of things. We could understand one thing, though, that in John 1:1, the Bible declares that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can understand that what he was saying, what I could receive again once we once had before, now that I've accomplished my task, that's all I want. He didn't say that I wanted to have all sorts of fanfare. I didn't want a parade. I didn't want stars to fall from the sky. I didn't want a beautiful acknowledgement of angelic beings singing. All I want is to know that you and I are one again. That the glory that I had that you've given me and the relationship that I've had with you in the beginning is restored and back now that I have accomplished what I had to do in this incarnation, in this suffering, in the things that I've had to do that were very difficult, in my substitution, in all that you've called me to be. However, if we debate the word and we dissect the word or analyze it, it'll never bring the truth of what Jesus was praying here in the prayer. Yes, it would bring some consolation, but not the depth of the spiritual meaning that the church needs to know. We can always come to some sort of comfort in scriptures. That's our humanity. We'll find a scripture that'll bring comfort to us in our struggle, in our hope to accomplish, in our sense of well-being. We'll always find something in the scripture that'll wrap itself around our heart and massage our heart to be able to thank God that we know him. How often have you read the word and it's seemingly that the word was reading you. And the word spoke to your life and it brought joy to your heart. A swelling of tears to your eyes. And an embrace of the Holy Spirit that only he could give and no one else could. And you knew it was him embracing you. We come to such depth in the spiritual truth here that it is attained only by faith in God and trust in his forbearing love for his creation and the people that have called by his name, those people. We understand that. Humanity in its own is lost and without God, but with Jesus, we are connected again. With Jesus Christ, you and I have a connectivity to God. Not everybody that you see today will be connected with God. Some of your own family, whether family through marriage or family through a bloodline, are not connected with God. You are, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are connected to him. And I want to give you the three ways that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I really want to be able to preach this as God gave it to me. And I want you to know that the first way that we connect with God is through a word that we find in the Bible in four distinct areas in the New Testament called propitiation. What Jesus did for you and I. Now, propitiation is defined literally as the atoning sacrifice. Jesus was our atoning sacrifice. He atoned for our sins. It was the appeasement. He was the appeasement to God for what we did wrong.
And in our humanity, we would literally thank anyone that would take our case that we were guilty for and take it to court and plead that they'll take the punishment if we would be set free. We would thank them. We would praise them. We would offer them something to say thank you in such a way that they would know that we had great gratitude and great appreciation for what they did. It's a soothing. Propitiation also means a soothing. There was a soothing between God and man. God was soothed to have what Jesus did, that he could reconnect again with his creation. God never fell out of love with his creation. He just had to have his creation fall back in love with him. And the only way that would happen is through Jesus Christ. And we have to look at this in a way that it's not only that, but it's a pacification. He was pacified. It was okay now. Jesus was on the cross and he shed that blood, prophesied throughout history. Isaiah, the Psalms, speaking of what Jesus Christ would do. Genesis 3 and 15 opens up the prophetic word for who was going to come and crush the head and have his own heel bruised. But through that we would be called Christ-like Christians, born-again believers. We would be God's chosen people. We would be attached to Israel through the Abrahamic covenant and through the blood covenant, marrying together, that we would be grafted in to the great tree of Israel and we would be called the children of the living God. Amen. You and I, children of a living God, not a dead God. Yes. Not a God that sits on a mantelpiece, not a God that sits on a dashboard, not a God that hangs on a wall with pictures, not a God that we have to burn incense to, not a God that we have to pay some sort of a debt every day that we could come into his presence. My friend, the debt by the propitiation, the connectivity has been made by Jesus Christ. We can enter boldly into the throne room of grace, whereby we can obtain mercy and help and grace in our time of need. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. He became that for you and I. He reconciled us again. He brought us back. We are called the friends of God. God is a friend of mine. Amen. And I want you to know today that he's a friend of all of us in this room today. Because Jesus reconciled us. Our old ways have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ on this earth. We are living, walking epistles of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Would you praise him for a moment? Would you understand that there's a connectivity in your life to God, and he is our God forever? Romans in chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and a propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over and ignored the former sins without punishment. You know, God's taken our sins because of the propitiation, and he's thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember your sin. The only one that remembers your sin is you. And the only one who wants to remind you of your sin is the devil. Your enemy, your observer, wants to remind you of your failures. But God wants to remind you today that those sins are forgiven. Those sins are gone. You can't recreate them. You can't bring them into your life. You are forgiven. God did not place a punishment on you. He didn't send you a bill in the mail. He didn't say to you that you have to do this and to do that every day, and you have to buy your way into glory. You have to tithe your dollar to get into heaven. You have to speak in tongues to get into heaven. God never put any rules or regulation on his connectivity to you except by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory.
So it is evident in Hebrews 2 and 17, so it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and propitiation for people's sins. In these two verses, if you study the Greek, you'll find that Jesus is referred to here as a covering. He was a covering. And we needed a covering. We needed someone. And it couldn't have just been anyone. It had to be someone. And Jesus volunteered. He obeyed. The Bible declares that God looked across the earth and could not find not one righteous that could stand in the gap between the fallen humanity and a holy God. And Jesus stepped up. He stepped out. He stepped into, by the Holy Spirit, a womb of a virgin woman by the name of Mary, and lived a life of pureness without sin for 33 and a half years, never falling to the devil's temptations or the temptations of humanity that are there, not of flesh, not of rebellion, not of revelry, not of anarchy, but in total obedience, he walked on this earth that you and I could sit here today. We could stand in worship. We can shake hands and we can say to people how wonderful it is to know that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. We can live a Romans chapter 8 life. Amen. Right now, we can have a witness in our spirit that we are the children of the living God. We can have a witness in our spirit that we are not adopted by fear, but we are adopted by the salvation, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, whereby we can call out, Abba, Father. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God, all things work together because God has us in the very palm of his hand. And the Bible declares no man can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. Amen.
1 John chapter 2, verses 2, it says, and he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, here, the word used in the Greek here is not just a covering. But the word used here is literally that word for propitiation that is becoming our substitute and assuming our obligations. That's a wow moment for me. I don't want to get too churchy there, but it's a wow moment for me. You ever seen that advertisement on TV? This insurance company's on there and they call it the aha moment. I'm going to tell you, it's an aha moment for me. You know, Mutual of Omaha has that on TV. It's an aha moment. Somebody gives a little testimony of their aha moment. I'm here to testify to you today. My aha moment was knowing that there was a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory that literally was a substitute for my sin. And he was literally there and he took care of me. He took care of you and I. And he assumed all the obligations that we literally should have assumed. He took care of them for us. And he took care of it in such a way that he expedited our guilt. He took our guilt away. We're free.
Hallelujah.
Free. I'm going to say it again. We're free. Free from sin and free from punishment. Free from fear. Free from what the enemy will try to do to us. We are free. We have every right to tell the devil, get out. Free because of the propitiation. In 1 John 4 and 10, in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1 and 7 says this, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. We're free. We've been redeemed. You know, sometimes I think that the church forgets who we are. We're a redeemed bunch of sinners. We went from sinner to saint by a redemptive spirit, by a rinsed shedding of blood from Calvary's cross. And by the way, it's as fresh today as it was 2,000 plus years ago. It's as powerful as it was in Genesis 3 and 15. That's why in Philippians 1 and 6, that he will continue to perform the work which he has begun in you until the day of the Lord. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 12 that he literally said that he is fully persuaded that which he has committed unto the Lord, he is able to keep until that day. In other words, no matter what troubles he went through, God is able to keep. God is able to take care of. God is able to bring victory. God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. God is able to deliver him from the very thorn in his flesh, that eye disease that was blinding him where he could not even write any longer. And he prayed to God, and literally the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Hallelujah. My unmerited favor every moment of every day is sufficient, is all you need to make it through the day. And Paul said, "I'd rather glory now in my illnesses and my tribulations, my troubles, my struggles, knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory has given me all that I need every moment of every breath of my life." Hebrews 1 and 3, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint of and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. You see, I want you to see something there. He literally speaks a word, and the universe is propelled. You see, God spoke a word to your life, and you propelled into a connectivity with him. You didn't hesitate. You jumped in to connect with God. You plugged into heaven. You plugged into glory. You plugged into revelation. You plugged into the prophetic. You plugged into God. And God is plugged in to you. Amen. You are connected today in every area of your life. 1 Peter 3 and 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. That's right. He shed the blood. That was wonderful. Horrific. Even when they saw him give up the ghost, one of the witnesses, one of the soldiers, looked up and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." I stand before you today to tell you that surely this is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. This is the Son of God. Creation responded to his death. The earth quaked. Graves opened. The skies darkened. The physical creation of men, directed by God, responded to the death. The curtain was rent from the top to the bottom, 3 inches thick in fabric, rent from top to bottom, stating that even through Jesus Christ's blood that men and women can now walk into the very presence, into the holiest of all, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of their sin. They don't need a high priest anymore, for the one high priest has now completed the final and only sacrifice ever needed for us to come into the presence of God, the Holy One of Israel. And we reacted to that when we realized that the blood of Jesus Christ and his giving up of his ghost, that when he said, "It is finished, into thy hands I commend my spirit," we reacted to it knowing that the blood has been shed, forgiveness is provided. But however, God wasn't through there. The Holy Ghost, the third part of the Godhead, got involved. The Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament is weaved in every page. If you know how to read and see where you can find him, in every page. In the beginning, that hovered over this earth, he's in every page of every chapter of every book. He's there for you and I. But now he makes his entrance into the New Testament in such a way that it's amazing. It's amazing. He was seen hovering over Jesus at the baptism and the Father spoke. He was seen there at the Mount of Transfiguration. He was seen in the presence of Jesus and his miracles. But now he makes his entrance into humanity in such a way that out of a tomb comes a Christ that died, now alive forevermore. Out of a tomb comes not a spiritual resurrection, but a bodily resurrection brought back to life by the Holy Ghost of the living God. Walked out of that tomb and never stopped walking towards glory and taking all that would call upon his name with him. Hallelujah. Secondly, not only the propitiation are we connected with God, but we have a connectivity with God through prayer. So many people today, for some reason, feel as though they don't need to pray. Let somebody else connect to God in that area. But no. Prayer is so important. I believe every minister of the gospel should pray at least 1 hour, at least 1 hour. And I'm being merciful before they enter into a pulpit to declare God's word. Speaking to God, hearing what God has to say. And knowing that through prayer we connect with him. And they even asked him, his disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said in Luke and in Matthew, he said to them, "Don't pray as the Pharisees pray and the Sadducees pray, being repetitive, losing the meaning of what prayer really is." He said this, "When you pray, say," in Luke 11 and 2. "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And it moves on and further. The Lord's Prayer covers everything that needs to be prayed for in prayer ever. Just like the book of Romans is a New Testament in one book, explaining salvation, explaining deliverance, explaining who Jesus is, explaining what he did, praise God. When we were yet in darkness, he died for us, amen. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we were yet outside the camp, he withdrew outside the camp and died for us and called us back into the camp. Hallelujah. We are in the camp called Jesus. Amen. And he is our counselor, the wonderful, the almighty God, the Holy One of Israel. He is the God of our salvation. In Mark 11 and 24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." I'm reminded of a story now. Thank you to the Holy Spirit for bringing it to my remembrance. Just the other day, I was walking by a store, and there was a very thin man with a gray mustache, and he was tatted all over, a baseball cap on that said Pirates, for I guess for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and black and yellow. And he was sitting there. And he was sitting there just like this. And everybody that walked by him, it didn't. I observe everything. If you don't know that about me. Sir, can you help me? I need to get something to eat. Ma'am, could you help me? I need to get something to eat. You need some food? Yes, could you help me? I need to get something to eat. I observed. I walked by him once. He said, sir, can you help me? I need to get something to eat. I said, no, I can't. Not right now. I walked by him again. 30 seconds later, he said, sir, can you help me? I need to get some food. I said, no, I can't. I went to my truck, got what I needed, what I forgot to take into the store, which was my wallet. And I went back by him again. He said, sir, can you help me? I need to get something to eat. I walked out of the store the fourth time. He looked at me. This was all within a minute or two. He said, sir, can you help me? I need to get something to eat. I said, no, I cannot help you. I said, I will feed you if you show up at a distinct location on Saturday. I'll feed you that you can't see straight. I'll bless you to where you can't contain the blessing. He said, thank you, sir. I said, where are you from? He said, I've always been from Santa Cruz. Always. I said, well, is that true? I said, well, he said, no. He said, I came to Santa Cruz. My mommy and daddy brought me here when I was 2 years old. Now, this man's probably about 65 years old. I said, okay. I said, can you answer me a question? I said, he said, sure. I said, where'd you get the southern accent from? He goes, well, my grandfather was from Kentucky. And I said, well, what part of Kentucky? I'm trying to get a connection here. And he goes, Hazard? And at that point, I knew he'd watched too much TV. Everybody's from Hazard. Not only does that happen in the secular world, but it happens in the church world. At camp meetings between pastors. I was at a camp meeting in Southern California, in Visalia. And this pastor walked up to me at 9 o'clock in the morning prior to Bible study. He said, hey, Doc, how's your church? How much tithe you got? At 9:45 after the Bible study, he walked by me and said, hey, Doc, how's your church? How much tithe you get? At noon at the lunch hour, he said, hey, Doc, how's your church and how much tithe you get? After lunch, on the way into the afternoon session, hey, Doc, how's your church and how's your tithe? At the end of the day, 7 times he asked me the same question and shook my hand. I finally told him it hasn't changed since the 9 o'clock session this morning. He said, thanks, Doc. You see what I'm trying to say to you? That there is a connectivity that we treat God like. We forget who he is. We forget what he's all about. And we sometimes treat him in prayer just like that. We just go to him and we forget that we even asked him. And we just act as though it's somebody we don't even recognize. How did this man that was sitting down not recognize me in 2 minutes of a 4-time walk by? How did this guy who is an intelligent man pastoring a good church in Northern California, the son-in-law of the state overseer, how did he not recognize that he'd asked me the same question 7 times? You see, in our greeting to God, we must always remember who He is and why we are who we are and who is living in us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and ye are no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price, praise God. The Lord our God indwelleth within us. We are the temple that He can dwell in. We are greater than the temple that was there in Solomon's day that he built. God's glory entered in. And let me tell you right now, on Solomon's porch, they had great times. But we are that temple of the Holy Ghost of the living God. We are the church. We are the dwelling place of Him who calls us His own. We are God's children. Amen.
Believe that you have them and believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. Believe it. I need a healing. Believe it.
Don't let that illness or that sickness, don't let depression, don't let fear dictate to your life. I like that song, Shout It From the Rooftops. When I was singing it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to say this. I said, all right. Say it, now say it. He said, I said it, now say it. He said, tell the people in the message when you get to this point that don't think about a rooftop at your home or your church building. Get to the rooftops of your problem and shout, I'm not afraid. Show me your glory. Stop allowing your problems and your distresses and your fears and your illnesses house you in to where you cry out from the pit of your despair. Oh God, get to the rooftop of your despair, your illness, your depression, your fear, your frustration, your futilities. Find that rooftop, get up there and say, I am not afraid. Praise God. Lastly, and I could spend hours preaching on prayers. Many of you have heard me in the past. The third thing, not only propitiation and not only prayer, but praise. We connect with God through praise. That's why when we're here in church or in your car, in your home, in the middle of the night, in the early morning hours, in an afternoon stroll, something comes over you to praise. To praise a king that's worthy of all praise. No one deserves praise but Jesus. No one deserves glory but Jesus. All glory and honor unto Him who sits upon the throne forever and ever and ever. That's what they're singing in heaven right now. All honor and glory to Him who sits upon the throne forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. All honor and glory to Him who sits upon the throne forever and ever. Worship the Lord our God. Praise Him. Connect to God through praise. That's why praise is so important. Without the propitiation, we don't have salvation. Without prayer, God's purposes in our life will not be fulfilled. And without praise, we're not acknowledging who He is openly and publicly, praising Him, dynamically speaking to Him, thanking Him, worshiping Him. I love Mary because she sat at His feet. Martha was in the kitchen complaining. Mary was sitting at His feet worshiping and listening. Martha rebuked Mary to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, she's doing the right thing. She's sitting at My feet hearing My words. In other words, He's saying she is praising Me. A woman delivered of 7 demons comes in, cracks open an alabaster box full of perfume. I can preach there if you want me to, but I won't. I'll just tell you that everybody in the room said that oil could have taken care of a lot of people. And he said, no, she did the right thing. I've come into your house and you haven't even washed my feet. She comes in and anoints me with oil and washes my feet and with her tears and dries her feet with her hair. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus is saying she found praise and praise heard her. And I am the praise of her lips. Let us all have a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving unto Jesus. I'll read a psalm to you. I prayed, Lord, what should I say here? He said, let me say it. I said, amen. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. He's saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you get into the sanctuary, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you come into church, praise the Lord. Praise God coming in, praise God going out. When you're out in the firmament, outside, praise the Lord. When I used to drive across Wyoming. No, you've heard about the wide skies of Wyoming. When I used to drive across there, I would stop the truck and get out in the middle of the night and look up at the stars that I could not count. And I was reminded of the promise that Abraham received, where God said, I will be your exceedingly great reward. And the number of stars could not number how many will be my children. The sands of the sea cannot count how many will be my children. In the firmament, praise Him. Outside, in other words, don't be ashamed to lift your voice and praise Him. I've been praising in the daytime before, and I've seen people drive by and look at me like, what are you doing? And I don't answer because I'm praising. I want you to know how important it is that praise is there. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Well, I can stay there all day, but I know you have things to praise Him for also. You have healings that have happened. You've had deliverances that have happened. You've been set free from vices. You've released things that only God can help you to release. Remember, He's exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. He's God. He's the one. The Bible says we're nothing without Him, but with Him we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who just lights that dynamite in our heart, that dunamis power just explodes, and there's nothing in front of us that we cannot conquer, because we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the testimony of our lips, and we don't even love our life even as unto death. We are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. We are His children. Amen. God never stopped connecting with all of His people. When they backslid, He kept an eye on them. When they repented, He took them back. Even Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would only witness who I am like a chicken that comes or a hen that comes and wants to spread her wing over and draw the brood in. But you have rejected me. You've rejected those who have come to prophesy. I feel today that we need to begin to praise again a God who is worthy of all praise. We need to shout our victory unto God because we have victory through Christ Jesus. God causes us always to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. How do you not praise God for His greatness? It's great that we're breathing air. It's great that we can make choices.
It's great that we can absorb the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory in His Word. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise Him. Now, I don't have the ability to play like others do. My God, I feel like picking up the guitar and just strumming, and I feel like going over there and just clashing those cymbals on those drums, and I feel like just getting out a lute and a harp and just blowing into it. Who cares what noise it makes? It's the harp is praising God. The lute is praising God. The drums are praising God. The guitar is praising God. The organ, the instruments are praising God. The instruments. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, but I'm telling you right now, the instruments prophesy to God. The instruments are prophetic lyrics, sounds unto the Lord our God. Amen. Psalm 23, but you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. When we lift our hands in praise, God enthrones upon us. Praise God. Psalm 22, 22 and 23. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All you offspring of Israel. Psalm 22, 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear Him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Praising Him. The propitiation, the prayer, and the praise give us connectivity to God. 24/7. Every day of every month of every year of every generation of every millennium. Connectivity. Because God loved us so much, even in our sin, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved and have eternal life. Let me close. The way we connect divinely with God, who is our Lord forevermore, is through the atoning sacrifice. The prayer in our heart and on our lips. And I'll tell you, someone ought to prophesy in this church more often. Because, you know, we need, the prophetic is so alive. And we need to understand that there is times that we know that God wants to speak. And somebody had a word in this sanctuary this morning and they did not give it. I saw their face. I saw them a bit and they stopped. You know, prophesy. Prayer, prophesy. I told that little miracle young girl, I said, get out there and wave your banner, because the banner is prophesying to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something. I may begin to preach right now, but I'm going to tell you that there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory that wants the prophetic alive. He wants people to know His Word. He wants people to speak His Word. He wants people to come alive in their gifts. My goodness gracious. Unpackage the package. Speak. Let God work in the lives of who you are and what He has to say. The praise which is not ashamed of the Lord of glory. I think people get ashamed to worship. Get afraid to dance. I used to dance before the world. All the time. And I've danced before the Lord.
And I need to more often. I remember General Assembly, out of 25,000 members of the Church of God International. The man now is past and gone before the Lord, and I am going to say this, and you can take it for what it is. He's dancing before the throne right now. But every General Assembly during worship, he would walk, he would leave where he was sitting, his shoes off, and he would dance before the assembly during the whole worship service as the Lord would lead. One person out of 25,000. He would dance the beauty of a dance before him. And I was the first time I was there and I said, who is that? He said, he's been doing that since he's been a teenager. He comes to General Assembly and dances before the Lord. I believe he danced his way into heaven. Praise God. One General Assembly, one man was up on the second balcony. 25 feet below was the floor. They called an altar call. They looked up and he jumped. He didn't land. He walked through the air and glided to the ground and came up to the altar and was healed. Let me tell you something. Miracles exist, praise God. Miracles don't just exist in the name of a 2-year-old girl. Miracles exist inside our lives and are ready to explode if we would just connect with God and know who he is in our life and dance before him. Shout unto the Lord. Shout a word of praise. Shout a dance and a song. But let me tell you, there are times too where you just need to be quiet and alone and praise him with the stillness of your voice in your heart and worshiping him. But praise him. Jesus has showed us today in this text, in this prayer, that his mission and assignment was complete and he was obedient to every detail. In his obedience, his substitution, his saving work, he brought us to a place of divine connection. That's what he did. And today, I want to make an altar call. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel connected? Do you really feel connected? I mean, where you're waking up in the morning and you sense the Lord's right there with you. You sense the warfare as soon as you wake up, where the enemy tries to pull you into a struggle, a thought, a worry, a doubt. And you have to say, you know what, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Every situation, every circumstance, everything, the Lord's there and his presence is there. He's with us and he's there with us all times. And if you're not feeling that, you can connect today. This isn't reproof. This is encouragement. This is an invitation from the holy God of Israel. Amen. To connect. To ask for forgiveness. To repent. To pray. To praise. One day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Son of the Lord, the Son of our God. He is the King of kings. Everyone in earth, under the earth, and in the heavens shall bow before the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Amen. Connect with your heart today. Connect your soul today. Connect your healing today. Connect your desire today. Connect your faith today.
And let God bring into your life something that's so powerful. And what is that, Pastor? It's His presence.